forged from greatness and an iconoclastic passion comes Rodman by Aloha Sun. This impressive 20,000 puffs disposable vape, inspired and endorsed by Dennis Rodman himself, features a slick dual texture design for a better grip, a chewy rubber mouthpiece for easier mouth to device contact, and a USB-C fast charging plus an efficient LED indicator so you can keep score of battery and juice levels. Easily adjust airflow using the switch at the base of the device, and you're all set to take the world on like a champ. Available in 14 unique flavors with bestsellers like Waterman, Blue Raz, and Cool Mint, and a one-of-a-kind flavors like Asahi Berry and Strawberry Ropes, Rodman delivers both quality and quantity. Now also available in nicotine pouches like Zyn, but tastier. Go to Rodman9K.com to get your head in the game with Rodman 20K. Disposables and nicotine pouches. As a special deal for our listeners, Rodman by Aloha Sun is offering 20% off your first purchase with the code DRINKBRO. Again, that's 20% off with the code DRINKBRO.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. And we have not a ton to talk about today, but I first just want to say I'm thankful that the Braves are one of the four teams in the National League over 500.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty low bar.
I don't think I'm sure it's happened before in my lifetime and I just haven't been paying attention, but that is the, like, that's, this has got to be one of the worst first 3 months any league has ever had for win-loss records. Like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. I saw
a stat the other day. I had to, like, double check.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a lot of scheduling coincidence, because I doubt it's possible that four teams in the AL East end above 500, which is currently the case. There is zero chance that the AL Central will finish with four teams above 500, right?
Yeah, I mean, they'll all get some extra wins out of the White Sox, I imagine, or out of getting to play the White Sox. But yeah, that's
seems the White impossible. Sox and the Angels and the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays suck. I'm sorry, not the Blues, the Athletics. Those are basically three AAA teams in the AL, so that explains some of that.
Yeah, for sure. They get to rack up more wins than the National League team does, but that's fucking wild. I didn't realize that. So, as always, things can be a lot worse. Because I don't really watch the wild card standings this early in the year, but I do catch them being posted every once in a while, and it's the Braves have been pretty steadily in first place in the wild card the entire time, because every other team with a 500 record or better is leading their division.
Right.
So we're pretty safely in the playoff.
Yeah, that's not I'm not concerned about that in any way.
No, I am not. I'm not either. But the title of the episode does belie one concern I have, which is we're not really hitting. More specifically, we're not really scoring. So I've been hearing for weeks, you know, obviously watching, but hearing people complain for weeks, like, what's wrong with the Braves offense? Why isn't, like, obviously we don't expect the Braves offense to be as good as it was last year, because it was literally the 27 Yankees last year. But, you know, what the hell's going on? Why aren't they putting up at least, like, decent numbers, better numbers than they are, given the talent that they have, even with Acuna out? And so I decided to do a little dive into the team stats on FanGraphs to kind of get to see if I could get any sort of picture out of what's going on. I kind of want to get your thoughts on what you see from the stats we're going to run down here. So first off, overall, the Braves have the 11th best offense in baseball in the entire major leagues.
That's surprising. It must be a down year for offense.
Apparently.
Or it's mostly Marcell Ozuna, I guess.
Yeah.
Because everybody else has sucked. I mean, in May, the team batting average was .227. So far in June, I think it's .217.
So pretty fucking awful.
About as bad as you can be.
Yeah. 11th in offense is the top third of the league, almost literally. What, there's 30 teams, so you're just outside the top third of the league. And one good night could probably bump you into the top.
Maybe, 30. Yeah. But they're also striking out 26% of the time as a team.
As a team, yeah. But what was interesting about that I saw is that they're not... where did I go for the strikeouts here? They're not. Their strikeouts aren't that bad.
How does that rank with the rest of the league?
Middle of the league.
Mm.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, well, maybe we're striking out a lot. So because we do like to try to hit the ball hard, maybe that's leading to more strikeouts. Not necessarily the case. We're the middle of the pack in strikeouts. The Braves lead the major leagues in hard hit balls. 35.3% of the balls they put in play are fucking blasted. So if we're making contact, we're almost certainly hitting the shit out of the ball.
Okay.
We're tied for first in average exit velo. So again, we're hitting the shit out of the ball. We're third in the league in barrel percentage. So we're barreling up the ball better than anybody. We are, however, middle of the pack in launch angle. And only ninth in slugging.
We're 23rd in walks.
Yes, and we're not. We're 23rd in walks, but our on base percentage is, again, middle of the pack.
13th, yeah. OPS is ninth. So maybe bad luck to some degree, maybe poor situational hitting.
So I looked at the situational hitting in terms of clutch factor. 11th.
I'm not talking about clutch.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about a normal, like, games are won in the first through seventh inning most of the time, not eighth and ninth. So if I'm pitching against this Braves team, aside from Marcelo Ozuna, I know how to get everybody out.
Yeah.
Right? Like if Michael Harris is leading off for us right now, fastball up and away, and then slider low and in, and he's out. Unless I miss, he's out. Like 100%. There's no adjustment being made. He's out. Austin Riley, slider low and away, or two-seamer low and in that rides off the plate. He swings and misses at it or drives into the ground every single time. These are two of your best hitters. I know exactly how to get them out, and I'm a fucking fan, right? It's a little bit, like Albies is a little bit more difficult, I think, to program against, but he doesn't have, in my opinion, the natural talent that those other two guys. He doesn't have the bat speed those other two guys have.
Yeah.
So he should you should be able to get him out. Matt Olson has improved recently, which is nice. He was up to 270 in June, and so far in May, hit or miss, but he's been, only been five games. Ozuna's been hard to get out, but. You shouldn't be able to fucking look through your lineup 1 through 9 and know how to get everybody out, right?
Yeah.
And before Acuna got hurt, I knew exactly how to get him out. Slider low and away every time. Yep. I don't throw any other pitch than that.
Yep.
And he'll just ground out the shortstop every time.
Yeah. So, especially if he tries to get around it, which he was doing a lot.
Yep. So, and to me, this is a Seitzer problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is his job.
It seems systemic at this point.
This is his job. It's everybody on the team is not making adjustments. Everybody, like from up and down the lineup. So he's either got to get his shit together or they need to fire him.
So here's something interesting that I found as well. Like obviously, so there's some things are going right, right? Like the hard hit, we're hitting the shit out of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now that includes outs, by the way. That does not include, that's not just hits.
Yeah.
If it's an event, if the batter ball in play, out or whatever, it's so we're leading in that. One thing we're also leading in is pull percentage.
That's probably not good.
And we are second to last in opposite field hit percentage. Do you think that speaks to situational hitting? Does that speak to, or is that, I mean, presumably we do want, like, the goal is to pull the ball, right? Like, it is.
It's to pull the ball in the air, not on the ground.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So. You know, what did you say the launch angle rate was?
We are middle of the pack in launch angle, and we are near the bottom of the league in fly ball percentage. Middle of the pack in launch angle, near the bottom of the league in fly ball percentage. However, we are top 10 in line drive percentage. Line drive, typically the hardest ball in field.
It is. Yeah, but
I look at these numbers and it feels like a mess. Like it feels like I don't know what the problem is other than like just sheer dumb luck. Like events are happening at the worst time for them to happen. I don't know. Like, I can't make sense of it from just looking at the numbers. I can make sense of it looking at the batters. You know what I mean? Like, you go up there and it looks like nobody knows, like you said, how to adjust. Mm-hmm. Nobody has a plan, which is what we complained about Acuna for the longest time.
Ozuna is hitting .359. With runners in scoring position, .330 with runners on base. He's the only one.
Even what, over 300?
Well, let's look down the sluggers, as we like to call them. Matt Olson, .230 with runners on, .212 scoring position. Ozzie Albies, our other all-star, is hitting... well, actually, he's a good one. .396 scoring position.
He's a guy who tends to rise to the occasion.
Yeah. Austin Riley, on the other hand, I don't really need to look. I know it's going to be bad. He's hitting .250 with runners in scoring position and .239 with runners on base with commensurate amount of RBI, which is, come on, man. Like, get your shit together.
And he was our RBI guy, right? Yeah. Like, I know that Olson...
He's hitting third and second or third in the lineup, right?
I know Olson set the franchise record for single-season RBIs last year. He definitely did for home runs. But Riley is the type of guy where, even more so than Olson, Ozuna is, I guess, this guy this year where it's like he will get whatever hit you need him to get, right? He'll hit a home run when you need a home run. He'll have a base hit when you need a base hit.
And then Michael Harris is hitting... .327 with runners in scoring position.
Okay.
So why is he hitting first?
Right.
Like, I don't understand. Why is he leading off?
Harris first just feels like,
just because he's fast?
Yeah, like, oh, it's like Acuna.
That's 1980s thinking.
Yes.
That doesn't make any fucking
it's
sense.
It's really fucking dumb. The only person who should be hitting first is whoever just has the best on-base percentage that isn't Marcell Ozuna.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop.
Which is probably Albies, to be honest. But he doesn't walk much, so...
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe you put someone like Duvall, or fucking Murphy, or darn... You know what I mean? Like, they don't need to steal bases. They need to be on base.
I mean, I would... To be honest, I would probably put Klenik in that spot.
Him too. I mean, like, anyone who gets on base, it's...
Even just for the time being, I want him to see as many pitches as possible.
Yeah.
That's really why I would want him there, but... Yeah, I don't know, man. Who knows?
I mean, the on-base percentage looking up and down the lineup is pretty fucking...
Yeah, it's bleak.
Bad. Like, real. I think Ozzie Albies is the third best on-base percentage at .338. Acuna had the second best.
I mean, lead him off. Ozzie can lead off.
I
don't see why not.
Jesus Christ. Harris's on-base percentage is .291. I mean, I don't know... I don't even know what the fucking solution is other than everybody needs to, like, have a hard reset.
I mean, I know for the individuals, I know Olson is working his way out of it. He's just missing the barrel, right?
Yeah.
That one, there's nothing to be done about that, to be honest. Maybe you just tell him, like, hey, maybe choke up one at bat, or maybe fucking go to the knob one at bat and see what feels good. Maybe move around in the box a little bit, see what feels good. I think he's just a comfort thing, honestly.
Yeah.
Because he's a big, long guy. It takes him a little bit longer to get their mechanics going and stuff. I'm not worried about Olson. Riley has a short, compact swing. He should not be slumping like this. He can't lay off bad pitches. We saw this last year and the year before that. He gets into these, like, two-month slumps where... He'll take fastballs right down the fucking middle, and then he'll swing at something riding low and in and miss it by a foot and a half. It's like that's a problem that can be fixed. Michael Harris is the same way. That low and inside slider, it's year three now, bud. Like, figure it out. Like, you got to learn how to hit that, or you're going to be a good player, and that's it for the rest of your life.
And, you know, with Riley, him in particular, it feels like he in particular has had a lot of bad luck. Again, his hard hit percentage is near the best of his career by a couple percentage points. His best was 2022, but it's in line with last year. And I think he has a pretty shitty batting average of all the plays here. No, he's right in line, but batting average. It's so fucking frustrating, dude. Like, I look at the numbers and it doesn't make sense. And then I watch them play and there's like almost a disconnect. It's like, how is everything happening the way it's happening?
Well, I mean, look, so the Braves are still at a 583 winning percentage, which is playoff baseball, frankly, right?
Right.
So they're a good team right now. The difference between, we talk about this all the time, the difference between good and great teams is that with great teams, there's nowhere to go for a pitcher to hide in the lineup, right? Mm-hmm. So I can fucking pitch around this dude, or I can fucking go after him and make him beat me, right? With my best pitch, and maybe I'll walk him in if I want, and if they're not disciplined, that's in favor to me, because I know that I can go get Austin Riley out. I know that I can, right?
Yeah.
All I have to do is make my pitch. I throw a two-seamer low in, and he's out. The end, right? So when Acuna or Albies were up 1-2, I can fucking throw that low and away slider to Acuna and just hope he's not patient that day, right? I don't have to challenge him and get smoked to dead center field. And that's the difference between a good and a great team. It's just that simple. It's when all the cogs are, you know, all the gears are turning in unison is when a team becomes great. And they're just not good this year. I mean, they're not great. They're good.
They are good. Yeah, I mean, look, it's and you know, in reference to sort of 2022, which was our other like slow out of the gate year, we thought, I don't think we knew what how the division was going to go because the Mets had loaded up pretty good in 2022.
Yeah.
But June was right when we closed the 10-game gap. In 2022...
And we knew by then that Mets were terrible.
No, not in 22. They were 8 games up on us. They were 38-20.
But by I think by mid-June, we were like, oh, this team was...
They were falling apart.
They sucked. Sure. They got up to a hot start, and now everybody sucks.
But, I mean, we were only 2 games over 500
mm-hmm.
in 2022 with roughly the same team. Yeah. And so we're better than we were the last time we were down roughly this margin at this point in the year. I'm looking at the exact standings from this day 2 years ago or whatever. But man, like something needs to change. Like something needs to click. And I wonder, my hope is that just based on the numbers, that it really has been some weird combination of bad luck that will unfuck itself.
Mm-hmm.
But baseball's a weird sport where, you know, you think everything shakes itself out over 162 games, and it does a lot of the time. But at the same time, there's sometimes where weird shit will hang for the whole year.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. I mean, I think, again, I said this 2 weeks ago, but I think AA is kind of waiting to see how everything shakes out and how people settle into their new position before he starts making moves.
Which he should, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to panic.
No, not in June. Especially not when you're 6 games up in the wild card and only 7.5 back
right.
of the division lead. Who cares?
Right.
And to be honest, I wouldn't prioritize winning the division anyways. We've talked about that a million times.
No shit. And by the way, we've only played one series against the Phillies all year.
Yeah.
Right. So we still have 12 games mm-hmm. against them. I believe it's 15 divisional games, not 18 now, I think.
I think it's 15 or 16. I don't remember. Yeah.
So we've got 12 or 13 games left against the Phillies.
Yeah.
For the rest of the year. I think we have one more before the All-Star break, and then the whole fucking rest of the games are after the All-Star break.
Yeah, but I mean, I also don't think there's necessarily a big reason to wait. I think finding a right-handed bat in the outfield is a good idea right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you want to platoon Duvall in left with Kelnick, that's fine. But
you don't need to go get a great defender.
No, it doesn't matter. Taylor Ward with the Angels is a guy that we should probably go pick up. I like Luis Robert's bat, but he can't stay healthy. He's missed last year. He played 141 games, and that's the most he's ever played
in
his six seasons in Major League Baseball.
For sure.
But Taylor Ward has been more or less healthy so far as I can remember, and he had a really good year last year. He's having a good year this year. He's under team control until 26, right? You got 2.5 more years of this mm-hmm. dick left. And then they also have Tyler Anderson, a left-handed pitcher that's really good, right? He's 5-5, but he's on the Angels. He's got a 2.37 ERA and a 1.13 whip as a lefty. And keep in mind, he's had a pretty good – last year was brutal for him, but he's had good years before. And I think if we're trying to insulate ourselves from losing Fried, he might be a decent win. Then there's Fetty over at the White Sox. Again, I would not go for Luis Robert.
They don't really have any hitters that interest me just because of the injury. Well, who's the Eloy Jimenez can't even play the outfield.
Yeah.
So.
No, we already have one of those. So the other target that I'm hearing is we are in the lead for Jesus Luzardo from Miami.
Really?
I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, I guess I honestly don't understand it because he has
had nice years.
Yeah.
But like
this year he's having some bad luck, but the last 2 years he's been really good.
He is actually his expected FIP is like 2 runs lower than his ERA.
The Marlins suck. So I don't like the ERA and win loss record don't mean shit to me. The whip is a little high this year.
And the strikeouts are down.
The strikeouts are down, but to be honest, he's on a shit team. My understanding is he's one of the hottest pitchers on the market right now, and the Braves are in the lead to get him for some reason. I don't know where that information. Well, it came from the AJC, but I don't know where they're getting that from.
I mean, I'll say this: his walks are low-ish. I mean, they're low, about the lowest of his career.
A guy like that on the Braves is going to do well. And then you know, I don't know what the Mets are going to do. I just assume they would continue unloading people.
One would think.
Because what the fuck? What's the point? Like, I know they want to keep Pete Alonso.
I think they need to stop being romantic about that.
I think they should definitely trade him because you could get a haul.
You could get
probably a major league ready player, position, or pitcher, and you could get probably 3 additional prospects for just him.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would get for him, to be honest. And then they have Sean Manea as well, who's had good seasons before. It's hard to gauge pitchers off of the team they're on sometimes. If you're on a shitty team, things aren't going to look good for you. Luis Severino's over there as well. He would be an attractive pickup because it's only going to cost $4 million to pay him for the last 2 months of the season, basically. Right. It's going to be $2 million a month for him to rent him. And you wouldn't have to give up much for him. That would just save the Mets money. So there's a lot of Mason Millers out there. I don't know if they want to add to the bullpen or not, to be honest. I mean, you can never have too many people in the bullpen. I'm just thinking if they're going to make a move for Brent Rooker, which they are also in the lead for, according to everybody I've talked to.
Yeah.
I think Brent Rooker is a real possibility to go to the Braves this year. And if they could make it such that Mason Miller came with him, that would be great for Braves fans, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, not that he was contributing a bunch, but Matzik's on the 60-day IL now. He's out for the year, I assume. And I mean, poor guy. I'll always love him for that.
Yeah.
NLCS strikeouts, but
hey, he got us one.
He did. I mean, but yeah, it's the pitching's completely kept us afloat. But we do need an arm and a bat because we can't keep rolling out hobos.
None of the fifth starter options we've used have been in any way not good, but even serviceable.
Yeah.
I think the fifth starter in our rotation has like a fucking 6 ERA.
It's bad. It's real bad. The depth, not quite there, not the way we wanted to. I don't know. We still don't know what's going on with AJ Smith-Shawver, right? Like, he's just around. Obviously, Elder's been shelled this year. Vine's kind of whatever. I don't even think we've seen Inoa, have we?
No, he's coming back June, July.
Okay.
But he'll do probably 4 rehab starts before they even look at him for the big league. So who knows?
We are probably a Ronaldo Lopez away from being a 500 ball club right now.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like, truly, he has low-key saved the season. Or not saved the season, but kept us above water, which is because one more hole in the rotation and there's going to be serious problems.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's why you have depth, right?
Yeah.
This is why Alex Anthopoulos overloaded the lineup. It's not just to overwhelm teams. It's because you never know when you get one of those fucking years. And this is one of those fucking years.
Yeah. And then the other guy is Hurston Waldrop, who was drafted out of Florida a couple years ago. He pitched well in Double A. His first two games were get to know you games, and then pretty much lights out after that. I mean, he didn't give up more than 2 runs in any game after that in 8 starts. Got promoted to Triple A last week, and threw a game, 6 innings, 3 runs, but he had 11 strikeouts. I mean, he's working on stuff, but he's dominant.
How old is Waldrop again? Is
he like 22.
22? Fuck, all right.
22 in 98 days, and he's from Cairo, Georgia. He's a hometown boy. So, which, you know.
We love them.
Yes, indeed. We've had a bunch of them over the years.
A shit ton of them, yeah.
I think probably two more starts in AAA, and he's going to be our fifth starter. That's my guess. Provided he doesn't it doesn't get fucking rocked or whatever, right?
I mean, this...
Because he's the only one that's pitched well. A.J. Smith-Schauber's done well in the minors as well, but he's the only one... Waldrop is the only one that's really been dominant.
And this, I guess, what do you want to call it? Administration hasn't been shy about bringing up relatively young kids. Sirocco was 21.
Yeah. I mean, fucking Harris and Strider saved that season. Because we were fucked that year, and they saved that season. So, yeah, I think Waldrop's probably the next guy up, to be honest. I think they're just going to try to stay afloat until then. I don't think they want to burn anybody's two-way contracts in the meantime.
Yeah. I agree. So, I mean, we'll see. This is kind of a frustrating time of the year, right? Because there's not a lot of teams that are ready to make moves yet, ready to deal with, except for a few that are, like, completely dead. And even they don't necessarily want to make moves yet either, because they want the market to shake out a little more, right? Like, they need...
They definitely want to get max value.
Right. So there's impetus for both sides to not make a deal yet.
Yeah. But I'm looking at the Braves' fifth starters, guys who have pitched in the fifth and the five hole. Schwellenbach is 0-2, 8.38 ERA. You can't blame that on the defense. Ray Kerr, who has been good in relief, but as a starter, 6.05 ERA.
Yeah.
That's not great either. And then obviously we know about Bryce Elder's struggle. I think he's like a 6.50 ERA as well.
It's been bad.
So it's like we're in between a 6 and a 7 ERA for one of our starting holes. That can't happen.
Especially when, you know, the offense isn't giving you the run support you need. It's unsustainable in the long run. And like we talked about, we've started our stretch of manageable opponents and the stretch hasn't gone well. To start, we lost a series to the Nats and the Pirates, and then split with the Red Sox, although I'll take that as a series win. It's basically like a four-game series divided in two. We won the first two and split the next two, so whatever. We beat the Red Sox 3-1 on the season. That is what that is. But yeah, I think they can keep treading water as long as they can keep... It's sort of like an NBA... I feel like MLB standings are like an NBA game, right? Keep it within 10 until...
Yeah, the next three games look good. Sale, Morton, Fried against the Nationals. Honestly, we shouldn't lose any of those games.
No, I think this would be a big sweep to get.
Yeah, and because then we go to Baltimore.
Which is...
And the fifth starter is the first up there. And that game, I mean, if you're looking to bet a game Tuesday, June 11th at Baltimore, Braves at Baltimore, unless Hurston Waldrop comes up and pitches that game, I would bet my entire house that the Braves are going to lose that game.
Yeah, and I really... wouldn't want that to be Hurston Waldrop's first start.
Fuck no.
Fucking Orioles? Are you kidding me?
Although, you know, throw him out there, see what happens. I mean, from what I hear about Waldrop, he's a dog. He doesn't give a fuck about anything.
Yeah, and I mean, look, when you play baseball in the SEC, like you deal with a lot of stacked lineups just through your life in general.
Yeah.
Is what that is. Real quick, I'm going to get to the ads. First up, we have MyBookie. MyBookie.com is where we place all of our bets, baseball, football, NBA finals. We play blackjack in their live casino as well. We just recorded Casino Friday. Before we did this show, it was not a great day for us today. But, you know, sometimes the table's fun, sometimes it's not. I always have a blast on it either way, even when I'm losing four-ish figures on card games. But it's really cool because the casino, it's like a real dealer. It's on camera. You see it. You know you're not getting ripped off by some like online arcade that's definitely rigged. It's really cool. So go to mybookie.com. You can do the live casino for that. Or you can just place your bets. You can live bet. You can do whatever. And the promo code Drinkin' Bros will double your first deposit up to $1,000. So if you put in $1,000, they will match that for you. They'll give you your own $1,000. Put in $100, they'll give you $100. Whatever. They'll match it up to $1,000. MyBookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros. We love it. Again, there's not a ton to talk about right now, so I kind of want to just get your thoughts on, spring's over. It's summer. The standings are real.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing? What are you thinking? What surprised you? What's disappointed you team-wise so far?
You mean for the Braves?
For anyone.
Or just anyone?
Anyone, yeah.
Well, the two things that aren't surprising are that the Angels and A's are the worst teams that I've ever seen, except for the White Sox. The White Sox are historically bad right now, but they don't have – there's no players over there.
Right.
Like, the A's have players. They have maybe the best closer in baseball, and they have, like, a top 10 hitter in Rooker, to be honest, right? At least for the outfield.
Their catcher's not bad, Shea Langeliers. Yeah. I mean, they've got dudes – it is funny to me that they're tied, I guess. No, they're not, because the winning percentage is different. Mm-hmm. That the A's are still above the Angels.
Yeah.
Because the Angels are a fucking clown franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for Wash, to be honest. Although he did take the job, so
I know.
You can only feel so bad for him.
Get paid. Get that cocaine money.
Yeah. One more big contract, that'll be enough cocaine for the rest of his life, I think.
Yeah, I would say so. Man, the fucking Angels. I just, at this point, see what you can get for Trout. Even eat contract, whatever, mm-hmm. dude. Like, you need to blow it up. Like, you need to admit defeat. Don't sit in the bunker, wait for the Soviets to close in. Just blow your brains out. It's bad.
Yeah, they need to move on. Another thing that's surprising to me is Milwaukee is doing really well. Colin Rea and Freddy Peralta are pitching well, but aside from that, their starters have been not great.
They have three starters.
Yeah, Robert Gasser is doing okay as well, but he's a more recent addition. He's got five starts so far that have gone pretty well. But aside from that, like, the guy that was the third starter before that's now four or five, Joe Ross, has like a 450 ERA.
And he's still on the IL right now.
But they're 10 games over five. Yeah, he's on the IL. They have a bunch of people on the IL. DL Hall, Ross, Jacob Yunus. But the hitting has been a little bit better than I would have expected, to be honest. William Contreras is, I can't believe we let him go.
It's bumming me out.
Like, I fucking hate that.
Yeah.
Why did we do that? Like, he's, why didn't we send Darno and keep, like, not that I don't like Darno and shit,
right.
But if the plan was to bring in Sean Murphy, why wouldn't you keep William Contreras? He's like a much better hitter than either one of those two guys.
Well, what's weird is that he wasn't at the time of the trade. Like, Darno, you could call them comparable probably, right? But Contreras has grown up real fast.
Yeah. He's going to be, he's a catcher, and I think he plays about two-thirds behind the plate and a third at DH.
Yeah.
Well, right? And he's on pace for 204 hits this year and 42 doubles.
He's a bat-first catcher. And we've talked about for years the Braves mm-hmm. value defense, specifically pitch framing and pitch calling. So I think I understand.
But you can't let a catcher go who averages 3 to 3.5 WAR a year. Can't.
Yeah.
Can't let him go, man. I think that was a mistake.
That's fair.
A doesn't make many, but that's one of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. Good for them. Willie Adames looks good this year. Bryce Terang out of nowhere, fucking lighting it up. Yelich is actually.
He's got a 900 OPS.
Yeah, he's missed some games. He's missed about half the season so far. No, I'm sorry. About a third of the season so far he's missed. But when he's there, he's good. Reese Hoskins has been Reese Hoskins. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to fucking hit 350 or anything, but he's going to hit 30 home runs this year, looks like.
You know what this Brewers team reminds me of is like the last 5 years of the Indians.
Mm.
It's like very similar where it's like, wait, why are these guys
yep.
10 games over 500? I mean, like, okay, Jose Ramirez is there, but like, who the fuck else is there?
I think the Cubs are really underperforming.
I think
right
so
now.
Too. Their rotation.
Jordan Wicks has not been good. They expected him to be better, but James Talon has been way better than I thought he would be. And Imanaga is like one of the best pitchers in baseball. He might be the Cy Young front runner right now.
Yeah,
and then Justin Steele, who was the Cy Young front runner for most of the year last year,
yep.
is their number one. They've got good pitching over there.
Really, really good pitching. Good. I mean, good. I think a pretty decent bullpen too. They're kind of hit with injuries a little bit, like a couple.
Yeah,
of bullpen
a little bit.
But whatever.
But they've got good. They've got good power on the corners. Not a great batting average, but Morel and Bush in the corners are doing really well. Nico Horner's an all star. Dansby Swanson's an all star. Ian Happ is doing okay. Cody Bellinger looks good. He could probably bump his average up a little bit, but I think being in Wrigley, you're just trying to fucking hit the ball out of the ballpark, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then Seiya Suzuki is having a typical year for him, which is like somewhere between 260 and 280. He'll probably hit fucking 25 home runs, right? So everything looks good on paper for the most part. They're just, the back end of the rotation sucks, and they're just
light,
they're man. Just not getting it done.
A little
light. They're not winning games.
Yeah.
If you look at the excuse me, the run differential for them, it's close. It's minus 14, right? Mm-hmm. And they're one game under 500. It's like they're losing a lot of close games, probably, is what I would expect. It's like you got to get your shit together. I don't know who their closer is either. That might be a problem.
You know who I'm excited about, who's finally fucking coming on, is the team that's right a game behind them in the standings, which is the Reds.
Yeah. I want the Reds to be good. I think they need some veterans, though. I don't think they're going to be good like this.
My guess is they've got to make a move this year, right? They don't need to make a crazy move because they're so young. But, I mean, they're finally – they're 7-3 in their last 10. They're on a five-game winning streak. They have a run differential in the green.
Mm-hmm.
They're plus 15. But like we talked about, I love the top of that rotation with Lodolo and Hunter Green. And even Abbott's a good pitcher. Like
Frankie Montas. When Frankie Montas is healthy, he's been a little banged up this year, I think. But he's not bad either. I think they need to make a move for sure, though. I don't know who it is. I don't know. They like Friedel in center field is weak. He's good defensively, but he's the weakest spot in their lineup and their batting lineup right now. So typically there aren't a whole lot of center fielders on the market, right?
Just because
that's a premium position. But, you know, it's a not a small outfield, but it's a launch pad outfield. So maybe the Reds just mortgage the entire city and go get Mike Trout and see what he can do in the Great American Ballpark, hit 90 home runs.
Why not? I mean, honestly, why not?
I think that would be fun. That's obviously never going to happen, but it would. I don't know.
If you can do it, I mean, if the Angels finally, you know, get smart and do that.
I want it to be fun over there, though. I like the Reds a lot. I want them to play well, but
agreed. I am shocked personally. Not shocked, I guess, but like, God damn, the Yankees are a fucking Death Star.
They're looking pretty good, yeah. I mean, it's going to be difficult to beat them because you remember last year, everybody was banged up last year.
Yeah.
Off and on. Judge is on another 60 home run pace right now.
I mean, he is ripping the cover off the ball.
Juan Soto is a little dinged up right now, but he's having the best season of his career at the moment. So he's on pace right now for 43 home runs, 134 RBI, plus 1,000 OPS. It's fucking ridiculous. And another 120 walks to his credit.
And by the way, Stanton's having a nice year too.
Stanton's on pace for about 35, 40 home runs. He's been more or less healthy so far.
OPS right a tick under 800, 36 RBI. Like he's producing. He's not, you know, he's not Mike Stanton anymore, but he's still fucking putting up numbers.
And Volpe has made the leap.
Yeah.
Like, he is a legit player now. Last year, he dicked around a little bit. He hit some home runs, but he also hovered just above the Mendoza line. He's hitting 288 this year. He's going to eclipse his wins above replacement from last year sometime within the next 2 weeks, probably. Looks very good. Obviously, playing shortstop at Yankee Stadium, there's a lot of comparisons to be made there, but stay away from that because he's not going to have 3,000 hits in his career, I don't think.
And by the way, the fucking rotation. Rodon, Stroman, Cortez, and Garrett Cole's making rehab starts now. He'll be back.
He's going to be back like mid-July probably, which is like...
Why rush him?
Yeah, there's no point.
Yeah. Like, I mean, this team, again, it's a fucking Death Star. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, I would say that the obvious choice... I do think they need... My opinion, I think they need to replace Clay Holmes. You can't have a closer with a 124 whip. That's too much. But he's saved games. He's not fucking blowing a lot of saves, so whatever. But that, like, there's a reason that the peripheral data exists, and that's to, like, okay, is there a warning sign here?
Yeah.
He's blown 3 out of 21 saves. Not bad, right? Could be way worse than that.
Right.
But
I mean, look, if you just double it for the year, right? If you have a guy who saves 42 games and blows 6, like, you take that all day.
Yeah, but, you know... I think there's room for improvement there, but otherwise, I'm not sure there's room for improvement anywhere else on this team except for, like, DJ LeMahieu is a ghost. I don't know who the fuck is getting at bats for them at third base right now, but hopefully he's not getting the bulk of them because, no, he's just back. So he's only played 7 games so far, but he's hitting 182. That's the only problem I see in their lineup, to be honest. Everything else is looking like Alex Verdugo is not, you know, setting the world on fire, but he's playing the third outfield position. Who cares?
And, I mean, you can be rest assured that they will make a move.
The Yankees for sure will make a move.
Yeah. I mean, goddamn, dude. Even their fucking fifth starter, Luis Gil, 1.82 ERA, 0.92 whip. Mm-hmm. He's 8-1 with 85 strikeouts.
Yeah, I wonder what. Let me look on my bookie, but they've got to have the shortest odds.
I have to imagine so. And like, put it in perspective, they're goddamn 4.5 games up on the Orioles, who are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are a great team, and that's look, the division's not over by any stretch of the imagination. But like, that's it. And by the way, the rest of the East is over.
The Dodgers are still plus 340, and the Yankees are plus 450. That's backwards.
That is absolutely backwards. That doesn't make any goddamn sense to me. Unless,
I mean, the Yankees are doing what they're doing now, and they have a top 5 pitcher in baseball coming back soon.
Yeah,
in the next month. Like, come on, man. So, like, the Dodgers are they've got a good team. There's no question about that. The offense, at least. Glasnow and Yamamoto have been good. Walker Buehler is still working his way back in. Maybe he gets good again. Maybe not, because last 3 games, 5 innings, 3 runs, 6 innings, 4 runs, 3 innings, 4 runs. So it's like, all right, we'll see how that goes. Bobby Miller's on the IL. He'll be back, but he's not been good this year. And then James Paxton has been – he's won games because they're fucking – he's a sustainable 5-hole guy.
Yeah.
But if these other guys don't perform and he's got to move up, that's not going to work for them. So, you know – in a long series, the Yankees would fucking torch these guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't even be close. So we'll see. That's the Yankees' performance is what's truly surprising to me. And it isn't the performance that surprises me. It's the fact that they've actually stayed healthy this year. So we'll TBD on that.
Yeah.
Right? Because now Soto's going to have to sit out a little bit. We'll see how the team does for them. Yeah.
They've certainly got the depth. All right. Let's get into the gambling picks for this weekend. I'm going 2 days here. Usually I like to do a big and a small parlay, but I didn't see anything I liked on Friday outside of 3 games, so I can only do a small parlay on Friday. I'm just going Braves, Guardians, Orioles. The Braves are playing the Nats and they've got Sale on the mound, and I like, give me that all day. I don't care. And then the Guardians are playing the Marlins. Weathers is good. Like he's actually done quite well. He is what was his dad's name? Did he have the shark tooth?
David Weathers?
Oh, David. I'm sorry. A different guy I'm thinking of. But yeah. I believe that's David Weathers' kid.
Mm.
But I could be wrong about that. Anyway, Guardians. And then who was the other one I had? I did not like the Blue Jays today because Bassett's kind of whatever and Harris is a decent pitcher. It was the Orioles over the Rays because fuck the Rays and fuck Aaron Civale. Not that good of a pitcher. I'll take that. And then Saturday, Phillies, Blue Jays, Orioles, Red Sox, Cardinals, Guardians. Phillies are playing the Mets. It's in London. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Blue Jays playing the A's. Better pitching matchup that day. Orioles against the Rays again. Red Sox. I don't remember who the Red Sox are playing, but it was. Oh, they're playing the White Sox. I didn't take them Friday, though, because Crochet is pitching. And then Cardinals are playing someone shitty. And, they're playing the Rockies. And then. Guardians, Marlins, bang.
Done. I got Sunday, Braves over Nats. It's Max Fried against some dude I never heard of. Rangers over Giants. The Rangers have Eovaldi going at home. Giants don't have a pitcher listed, so who knows what they're up to. They're kind of fighting their way through a lost season right now. Cubs over Reds. It's in Cincinnati, but Imanaga's going, and he doesn't really lose. So, Tigers over Brewers because Skuball is apparently impossible to hit for some reason.
Dude, he is taking a leap this year. Yeah. I think the Tigers, that's one reason I had the Tigers not dealing at the deadline because it feels like they're a year away.
Yeah, they've got a pretty good squad. Red over White Sox. The White Sox just suck. Crawford's going for the Red Sox. He's been good. He's been good this year. Not staying in the game terribly long. So last day of the series, I would keep an eye on this one. If the Red Sox bullpen's beat up going into Sunday, probably don't put this one in your parlay.
Yeah,
because he's not going to go more than like 5.5 1/3 probably. And then finally, we get to see how this will play out in real time. Dodgers at Yankees at Yankee Stadium. It's Glasnow versus Gill, who are the respective best pitchers for those two teams at the moment. So yeah, let's fucking do this.
That'll be a great game.
Let's see how that goes. Whether you bet that one or not, I mean, I would keep an eye. If you win all the ones before that, probably don't bet this and just watch the game. And if you're looking to watch baseball on Sunday, also tune in the afternoon game, 1:10 Central, Mariners at Royals. It's George Kirby pitching against Reagans from Kansas City, two guys that have performed really well this year.
Also a pleasant surprise this year, the Royals, who are easily in a playoff spot right now. Because the whole AL West, aside from the Mariners, is under 500. Mm-hmm. And the AL East is kind of washed too. I mean, it's just the Orioles and the Yankees in the East.
Yeah, I mean, there's four teams technically above 500 right now, but that can't last statistically, right? So at some point they're going to beat each other up, and you're not going to get a beat up in the Central. As long as Kansas City can hold serve with Detroit and Cleveland, they got a really good shot at making the playoffs. I'll say that.
Yeah, they'll be a really interesting, mm-hmm, fun team. Bobby Witt in the playoffs. I would like to see that.
Yep.
Very, very much. Well, that is our show for today. Again, brought to you by MyBookie, MyBookie.com. Use the promo code DRINKINGBROS to double your first deposit up to $1,000. Put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. Put in $100, they'll give you $100. You know the deal. You can do live casino, live betting if you want to bet like on the game. Like if you see the White Sox go up two runs early and you just want to put some money on the Red Sox at better odds, something like that. They have great live betting, really good dynamic lines, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's the best place to gamble, period. And then obviously the NBA Finals are going on, NHL, Stanley Cup starts this weekend. A lot of good stuff. Bet on the titties, bet on the Oilers, mybookie.com. But yeah, for Dan Holloway, I'm Rob Fox. See you guys later.